Welcome, everyone. We have got some people on here. Got a mute, son. All right. Everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of Adventures into Sovereignty with your host, Andrew Bartis, the Galactic Historian, and I'm joined by my intrepid co-host, Rebecca Cope. Welcome to the show, and shortly we're going to be joined by Rod Class, and we're going to be getting an important update.
Yes, hello, Andrew, and we're really looking forward to talking to Rod tonight. We are simulcasting with Google Hangouts and New Earth Nation. We just want to say a big hello to everybody and welcome to the show tonight. We've got some really important updates and announcements. Now, Deborah Jones, who was on the call last week, was supposed to be here this week. She will be on next week. She had a conflict with a conference that she was supposed to go to, so she asked if we would reschedule the show for next week. So Deborah Jones, our beautiful retired policewoman and ex-lawyer, will be back on with us next week for the show. And she promises to give a lot of the ideas, the remedies that she talks about. And she's also set up a class in Las Vegas for the 1st of December. So we're going to be giving you all of that information next week. We really look forward to that. And then the other announcement that I have is the following week, you absolutely do not want to miss this show, because we have a young man who, his name is Tex Masson. Many of you will recognize the name. He is one of the foremost authorities in the commercial discharge of debt. He knows as much about the banking and finance side of the statutes and codes and all of the various acts and so forth as Rod does on his side of the fence. So we really look forward to bringing him together. And we're getting Rod and Tex together because Tex is sharing some of the things with Rod. So this will be two shows out. So this week we have Rod, next week we have Deborah Jones back on, and then the following week we will have Tex Masson with how to really figure out the commercial discharge of debt. So several more really, really good shows coming up as we really help you walk out of the jurisdiction of these corporations posing as governments. That's really what we're about with Adventures into Sovereignty. And we just look forward to sharing more with you as we begin to bring Rod Class and the program into focus for tonight. Back to you, Andrew.
And I want to welcome everyone at the mega station BBSradio.com for joining us on this incredible call. So I want to let everyone know we've got some incredible things coming up. Rod's case is coming to a head, and we're going to be presenting some information, and we are going to be very shortly be giving a green light or a go or a pick up your spit wads. We are going to be putting some projects into effect that are going to make these paper tigers roar.
Oh, yes, that's going to be one of the most exciting things. So those of you who are on all of our various mailing lists, look out for this information, because we are really putting a serious, I'm not going to use the word Andrew would use, but one of those campaigns that really kicks everything into high gear here. Right on, Operation Spitwad to the rescue.
That's right, and Operation Paper Tiger to the rescue, too, because we're going to be asking people to be sending letters to a court that has a judge that is falsifying information, and we've been able to prove it on numerous times. Mail fraud at such a high level that we were probably going to be notifying the postal inspectors to this. This is going to be a big, 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 big thing. And we don't want people to be scared. We want people to be ready to hear the truth. The truth that these judges, in this particular case, in every other case out there, are perpetrating a fraud on the human, on the population here.
And one of the most important things I'm doing, I'm putting it together as we speak. I have a report that you'll be able to ask for as I begin to get out some of these emails. The most important thing I want to share with you is the five most shocking facts from the Rod Class DC case that should convince you to never go to court. And we're going to have Rod talk about some of that tonight because he's got all the sites and codes that will show you that the courts do not have judicial authority. The courts do not have criminal jurisdiction, although this case that he's dealing with in D.C. is criminal jurisdiction, but they have no criminal jurisdiction. So how are they doing this? Courts are acting as the war crimes tribunal by treating the people as the enemy of the state. This is against the Libor Code. This is against all constitutional provisions. They have absolutely no authority to be setting a war crimes tribunal in the United States of America in the year 2014. As we begin to really get all of these facts and we understand what's going on, then it's really up to the people to stand up and say no to this. And as you begin to understand that the courts, because of the War Powers Act, are acting as trustees, what they're doing is literally embezzling the resources from out from under the people and putting it in their own pockets. That's what's known as unclean hands. This will be in this report. And then the other part of it will be proof that the judges do not follow the rule of law. And as we join with the AIB radio staff, I'm really looking forward to getting Rod in here because he has been able to prove the hard way in this DC case that they absolutely do not follow the rule of law. This one has been very difficult for those of us who have followed Rod's work all these years. This has been very difficult for us to deal with because the sheer arrogance and the level of corruption that we've been able to document in this court case has shocked even the most seasoned court watchers. I'll have to say that.
And it's not like Rod doesn't play, you know, fair. He plays to the may use your own rules. And yeah. Rod has done things that other people have done and other things that other people haven't done. He's taken it at a level, and now the trumped up charges they got to get try to get him on was carry a concealed weapon, even though he had a permit and that gun was in his car in a locked box, nowhere near his physical body when they tried to search him. So it's a fiasco is what it is.
It is a fiasco.
Just kept getting the ball passed to the next person, and what did Rod do? He had judges removed, he had prosecutors removed, and so the ball couldn't be passed anymore, and it is in this judge's hands.
Yes.
Unclean hands at that.
Unclean hands, and we will be able to get this information to people in a way that really will shock you, but, you know, instead of being afraid of it, instead of saying, throwing up our hands and saying, well, no, there's nothing we can do. Oh, yes, there is. And it's time that more people begin to look at all of this information and have the courage to act. We're not asking anybody to get out and get in harm's way. We're not asking you to do anything that would cause harm to other people. But we are asking people to stand up and say no.
We're asking you to lick a stamp.
Yep, lick a stamp. It's just really as simple as that. And you know, just keep that image. Every time you lick that stamp, keep that image of shooting spit wads when you were in school and wanting to shoot them straight at the teacher.
That's right.
You know, it's
illegal spit wad.
Yep. and you know, we can do this with all seriousness, but with a light touch, so that we can really get the message that we are the most powerful people on the face of the earth if we but allow ourselves to remember who we are and to stand up and be counted. The legacy that we have from the United States of America with our Declaration of Independence and everything else that goes along with that is part of the meme of the psyche of the American people. And for us to sit back and be cowed by these judges and these courts acting as corporate actors and nothing more than that. Come on, people. It's time that we started waking up and paying attention. And it's time that we started having some fun with it. And this is part of what we're asking you to do as we put Operation Spitwad into action. And one of the other things, I had a wonderful conversation with Rozier Bowman with Rising Life Media. Now, he has joined as one of the media partners with New Earth Nation. They've actually signed the agreement. And he wants to take the story of Rod Class and the idea of the private attorney general and create a TV series out of this so that people can begin to understand the legacy that we have with the private attorney general and bounty hunter distinction that Rod will be teaching this class as soon as he gets out from under the rest of this court situation. The last detail comes up the 27th of October. And we already have just a really good a group of people signed up for that class. But remember, the bounty hunter side of this goes after the public officials to hold them accountable to the rule of law. And so Rozier wants to set up the documentary detailing Rod and his life. And I just can't think of a more wonderful human being to be able to tell this story around. So part of what we're going to be doing in the coming weeks as we get Operation Spitwad underway is helping Rod with his court case and also beginning to raise funds to help make sure that this documentary gets into the works. I know that everybody would like to see the whole story of the corruption within the courts exposed so completely with these source documents that caused this retired FBI agent to walk into our midst to help with the investigations, that caused eyes to be opened that had never been opened before, as Rod Class has connected the dots with all of this information in a way that helps all of us fully understand not only our birth certificate straw man, as they call it, but also the fact that there was a $1.8 million bounty put upon the head of every newborn, every live birth in this country and really throughout the world with these slavery contracts that literally do exist. So that's a big part of what this documentary will be to connect the dots in such a way that you understand how your birthright has been stolen and how your value has been tied into this monetary system so that the powers that be have conscripted all of the resources of the people for their war efforts. And it's our time to declare peace and plenty for all of our generations to come as well as this generation. And that's really what we're working on here as we're putting all these projects together. And we're helping to get this information out to the people.
This is the generation where we put philosophy aside and become doers.
Yes.
Whether it's doers in papers, doers in marching out there in the street, doers as in Rod that's in a court case and it's a teacher, comes down to doing. So I invite people to put down the philosophy for a moment and pick up the doing shoes. Anyways, yep. We are joined by Rod Class. How you doing there, Rod?
Hello, Rod.
Yes, we can hear you. You are just a little head. Can you tilt your computer down just a little bit? There we go. Now you are a full Rod, not just a head.
Well, I've got a new computer, and I'm still working on it. I got a Mac, and I'm not used to working with a Mac.
Well, you'll get over it. Anyways, Rod, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Oh, good. We're still tied into AIB Radio, so we're still broadcasting live.
Santi, I believe we are. If you could answer that question really quick.
Yeah, we're tied into TalkShoe because I did not disconnect, so we're live on TalkShoe.
And welcome, everyone, at TalkShoe. We are now simulcasting on Google Hangouts, the megastation bbsradio.com, and we are here on the infamous Google Hangouts. Welcome, everyone, to the show.
Yes, Rod, I was just giving everybody an update after talking to Rozier Bowman this week. And he was talking about getting this PAG program up and running. So we have some really good ideas going on there. and want to be able to get with him to talk about this more tomorrow. So we're going to look forward to telling everybody else about this. But we were also telling them about what's going on with this DC case and the five most shocking facts that we can come up with from the DC case. And as I listen to your Sunday review, I just want you to kind of go over some of this for the people again. Because one of the things that you say so clearly is that courts do not have judicial authority. What do you mean by that, Rod?
All right. It goes back into what we have been getting people to understand. Under this, whatever our system did what it did in 1867 under the Reconstruction Act, when the federal system went into the South at gunpoint and took them over, they relinquished the sovereignty of that public office. And when they did that, that's when the 14th Amendment of 1868 came in. And then they created the District of Columbia in 1871, which created the corporation, which dissolved their government and placed it under a DBA corporation side of the thing. Well, through the history of what is going on all this, what we have come up with is when they did the International Organization Immunities Act, 1945, they have turned around and placed these people all under international law. When they did that, they took them out of their government side, of the constitutional side. So they actually stripped these courts of any constitutional standing of holding any public office. These people actually expatriated out of their government side of their elected office. And this is something that we people were not really aware of and understood. And what is happening here, all right? This is where there is a major issue of what is coming about. Well, what we're also exposing is the fact that under the Treading with the Enemy Act that was done in 1917 and under the state of emergency, these courts were placed under military jurisdiction. Under that military jurisdiction is that they only have jurisdiction over alien enemy residents, not the American people. But we got placed into that whenever they did the expatriation on their side, and we did not know this. But going back in and also researching their laws, researching their codes, researching their rules, under their criminal rules of procedure, these courts were never given subject matter jurisdiction to hear any criminal cases. They may have venue, they may have penalties, but without the subject matter jurisdiction, they cannot enforce them because it was never given to them, because this is supposed to be on the civil side of all of this.
Now, it's not like they would, oops, my bad, we made a mistake. This was done on purpose, that power was separated.
Yes. It wasn't a mistake. It was done intentionally to defraud the people. And our lack of education on our side, and the problem that we have had is that we've had so many patriot people out here, and most of them being lawyers or judges, and deliberately came out here and gave this information in order to trick and deceive the people, because on a lot of these groups that I've been tied into, I've started watching the moment someone starts getting too close to an answer, somebody within the ranks comes in and they sidestep the whole party and get you off track to get you away from all this. And the more I've watched this, it made me wonder, why are they sitting down? Because they're not validating it. they're not able to come in and can't prove. They're making wild accusations that sounded logical, but when you start going back in and doing the research, there's nothing there. And now what we're starting to see in this country, and we were just talking about this earlier on our show, I'm up and running now. Okay. What we're talking about earlier on this show is I've got some people sending me stuff in on equity and on trust. Do I understand equity and trust at this point? No, I don't. I have more of the statutory, the constitutional, getting into the congressional records. I understand this side. Equity and trust is another side that needs to be brought in for one that looks like. There are a few people out there that I think are on the right track. I think once they get this thing worked out, like I've got my side worked, because what we have successfully done in D.C. is we now got a ruling from a judge telling me that the Constitution, all the rules, all the federal statutes, everything that we put in are bizarre and thoroughly unworthy of the court to answer. Now, that is saying a lot off this judge, because when you go back and read my paperwork, and he's making a comment about my paperwork, there's nothing bizarre about me bringing in the rules of court and congressional statute and bringing in their own codes and procedure. So what he has acknowledged is they're not following any rules, and I got into this conversation with AJ, because he called me Thursday. As he said, I said, Rod, you see that new judge's order? I said, well, I got it here, so I'll appreciate it. I'm going to object to it. I said, but I want you to sit here and tell me what is bizarre about my paperwork. I said, where did I go wrong? Where is there any place that I did not mention the Constitution, the rules, the regulations, the procedural violations on your side of the fence? He says, I know what you're saying. I said, so if you're not following the Constitution, you're not following the statutes, you're not following the rules, you're not following procedures, then just what are you following in your court? What is the subject matter jurisdiction? And he could not answer. Ladies and gentlemen, these courts don't have. And if they're running under equity law, and from what some of the paperwork I'm seeing, some of the people are going after, from what it looks like under equity law puts him right under military jurisdiction, puts him under that Title 50 that we're talking about. It's putting him right under military regulations. And under that labor code, if they are going to operate on this fashion, then they are going to have to discharge the debt, because that's exactly what the Trading with the Enemy Act gets in under alien custodian property, is that these people are to discharge the debt. They're not discharging, they're embezzling. And this is, and when we, if we get this international court up and running, and it comes in, these judges, these prosecutors, these lawyers are going to be begging us to put them under the Constitution and not bring them in under equity. Because if we bring them in under equity and we charge them under equity, these people come under military guidelines now. And military guidelines for pillaging and plundering and looting carries a lot stiffer penalty than violating a statutory law.
All right, so let's be sure people are absolutely understanding what you're saying here. Because as the courts are operating under this War Crimes Act, they are absolutely not acting under the Labor Code. They have no constitutional authority in any way. How are they getting away with this, Rod?
Well, they're getting away with it because of, number one, our lack of knowledge. And that's the number one issue here. Because I've got some people on my own call right now that is being stupid here. But the point being of it is, it's our lack of knowledge, whether it's on the constitutional side, whether it's on the equity side, because a lot of these people will sit back and say, well, just don't go to court. Well, it's awful hard when you're handcuffed and shackled and you're being dragged into that court to sit here and say, I'm not going to court when you're being carried into it. This is where you are having a problem here. And once you're in, now you got to find out what the rules are. And by running this under the Constitution, just like I said to the people on my show, and Dwight and I talked about this, these judges, when they took that position, they took that position under a Constitution, under Article 3, Section 1. But not when they, but then they took that position, they also agreed to the federal funding side of this, not the equity, not the trust. They agreed to it under the federal funding side. In order to obtain that federal funding, they have to come in compliance with the Constitution, and they have to come in compliance with the statutes. Because when federal funding is involved, this comes down in through congressional legislation. And those of you that have that hard drive, if you will get into the candidate side of this and click onto it, and you will see a file in there that deals with federal grant. That federal grant desk gets in and it lays out the statutory law, how these people are to operate within these agencies, within the government under federal funding. This is where we're falling short. We're not understanding their rules. We're not understanding their guidelines. Like I said, I haven't gotten into the equity side of this. I haven't gotten into the trust side. But I'm willing to come back in and learn, because I'm seeing some of the things of what they're saying makes sense, because what I have seen in one of the documents, the word property. If you and I were to talk property, you and I would understand it would be the house, the automobile, the boat. It would be the, you know, the washer, the dryer, and the clothes, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Wrong. Yeah. Because that's where we're talking about us. We're the property.
Exactly. What this gets into is the property side is your immunity. It's your inalienable rights. It's your right to freedom. And see, this is how they have twisted the wording on all of this, and through deception. So if they're bringing this in on the property side, they have a right to confiscate. But under their own regulations, and we got into this Title 31 CFR under 353 and 363, 353 is judicial procedures. This takes the judge, takes the prosecutor, and it takes your public defender or your lawyer to sign off on the property agreement. Now, that property agreement, it goes into the Treasury direct account under Title 31, under that 363, where they are supposed to be going into your account and discharging your debt. They're not discharging, they're embezzling. And that lawyer is supposed to be getting new paperwork up for some type of release for you to be able to sign, for them to get into that count to discharge your commercial crime on your property. And they're not doing it.
Okay, so let's just go back and review a minute. Because this goes into the War Powers Act of 1917. What we learned there as far as the license and registration, where the property of the people was conscripted, and this is what you're talking about here. Under the Trading with the Enemy Act, they have to act as they're supposed to act as trustee. That's one thing. And so this also goes into the slavery contracts that we're talking about in 1933, where all of this started coming in through the registration of the birth event. So we've got the two things there that you're talking about. And you're saying, as you're beginning to totally put this together, that we are the property that is in that court that is being embezzled because of the way they have set this up and the way we were able to prove through the Social Security Act of 1935, Section 501 and 502, we have it on our screen that $1.8 million per live birth was put into those accounts at birth. Now, that's really what we're dealing with here as far as people beginning to understand exactly what Rod is talking about as he's looking at the equity side and he's looking at, okay, how are these courts embezzling? It is as plain as the nose on your face. When you really can follow this down to the point that he's followed it down in our source documents. So that's really what we're helping people to totally understand. And as he's brought a lot of this into his court case, then we're able to prove this. Now, that's what we're talking about here.
The trust and the equity side come into another way of determining your manor role. Now, I've done a tremendous amount of research on the maxims of equity, coming with clean hands, and all those apply to a court that has a magistrate in it that isn't basing stuff on the rules of law. There's inherent courts of equity, there's property equity. In this particular scenario, what we're working with equity, is to understand that the trust and who the trustee is. And once you get that set and done, you can make your manor. And inside your manor, you can protect the embezzlement of what's going on. Many people that study trust law and get deep into it, what they do is they get the oath and bond of their county coroner or sheriff or something to that effect, or a judge, and a copy of the insurance, and they staple it to the trust. And then it becomes one document. And that is a very powerful way of setting up a trust that protects your straw man from embezzlement.
Well, yeah, see, this is, but see, they're not disclosing this because when they're dragging you in under a statutory violation.
And that is where your that's where your administrative side brings a remedy to the situation.
And this is where they're failing to disclose this trust side of this thing, that you're the property that they're bringing in. But see, what we have done in this D.C. case, we have ran them right through the Constitution, their own rules, which I was told, well, these are what you have to follow. And the moment I brought them all in, now they're calling them bizarre, thoroughly unworthy for the court to respond to. We have actually proven that the Constitution does not apply to that courtroom. But now we start coming in and start trying to run the trust side into this thing. They're going to have a major problem here, because once we bring them in on both sides of this fence, they're going to have to address one or the other. And if we get the international tribunal up and we get them before an international judge and this issue comes up, these judges are going to have to answer some hard, hard questions. And so are the lawyers on why they defrauded and why they did not sit here and discharge the national debt and why they embezzled it. This is going to be a major issue coming into this. I can see that.
Major, major, major issue. Embezzlement, I mean, that's Bernie Madoff times 3,000.
They're going to...
Yeah, and more.
Well, they're going to make Bernie Madoff look like a Sunday school child, poster child, with what they've done.
You know, because, his $60 billion he took is nothing.
Yeah. What these people have embezzled, and the thing of it is, these people have committed human rights crimes, humanity crimes, because they have stolen the identity, they have stolen the people's livelihood, they have falsely imprisoned them with intent to sit down and embezzle, knowing full well that there was no crimes legally committed in a lot of these cases. Now, I'm not saying that every single case doesn't have a crime, but the majority of these cases are victimless crimes. And anything that goes with a victimless crime, it's like we're talking right now in D.C. All right. The judge allowed my one order to dismiss the gun charge on DC because of Thomas Massey and the Heller case. He granted it under docket 140 on the 23rd. Today he came back in and denied it as being moot because the government has already dismissed the gun charge. DC is in a position right now of pushing a carry concealed permit. Congress is coming down and pushing laws on a carry concealed permit. Their legislation, that the judge for the federal court, so they're going to have to come back in and drop the one charge. Well, the point being of it is, I was charged under it knowing that it was unconstitutional to start with. Now the fact that they want to call it moot now takes out the D.C. charge with the federal charge on this, because it is the same principle, because under that Heller case, it talked about going into the building, not out on the grounds. So they, because the prosecution is trying to come back in and tell the jury, Mr. Class came in here knowingly, willingly, voluntarily, with full understanding that he had all this stuff with him. Well, now they pass that carry concealed permit. Excuse me, that blows your whole argument of voluntarily, knowingly, willingly, because I had a permit. That permit allowed me to carry it in. It didn't allow me to carry it into the building. I didn't. But it allowed me to have in my possession, have in my vehicle, have on my person if I wanted to walk downtown. So that whole line that they're going to have to give the jury is going to have to be thrown out, because once they pass that carry concealed permit, that blows their whole argument. That blows their whole argument. But yet it goes back and shows that if the Supreme Court ruled that law was unconstitutional and the federal court ruled that it was unconstitutional, then that means that what Judge Roberts just put in on his order really puts him in the hot seat, because he can't declare the court not being a constitutional court or a statutory court whenever his lower officer declared that law to be unconstitutional and Supreme Court and Congress has. Now we got a conflict here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I brought up on my show. What they need to do is mark this courtroom here as a constitutional courtroom. This courtroom here is not. This one here protects your statutory rights. This one here gives you a what is known as a Spanish Inquisition. They need to mark outside these courtrooms what courtroom you're walking into. This is like that D.C. case. Well, what side of the property are you on, which is Capitol Hill ground, which is not? It's not marked. Like I said, this is going to be a major issue in D.C., because if you people really truly understand what's going on here in this D.C. case and what's happening in D.C. over the right to carry, these people are in, they're in deep doo-doo, very deep doo-doo. And now we're coming back in proving they don't have subject matter jurisdiction and they're not operating under the Constitution. We've not got an order on this that validates that. Well, what are they running under if it's not under the Constitution? If it's running under equity, they have to discharge the debt. It's not up to me to tell them. It's up to my public defender to fill out the proper paperwork, get my signature on the paperwork, so they can send it down to the Treasury direct, get the money out, discharge the debt, give me my stuff back, and I walk out of there, and they're paid. That's what's supposed to be happening here. Do I have any disagreements with this?
And I would love to be in that courtroom and see how you are able to bring this up since you've got it all ready to go. It has really been an education for all of us as we've had to deal with this DC case. And one of the things that we're going to be doing in coming weeks is absolutely helping everybody understand this. As we get into the PAG classes, that's going to be one of the things as people get in there and really read this court case. You know, it becomes a study in understanding how the current law system really works. And that was one of the most important things that we set out to do as we started working with Rod on all of this information. Because until you understand what this Roman civil law system is all about, then how can we possibly know how to get out from under the system? How can we possibly know how they're dealing with all of us? And we've come up with so much more foundation of understanding, so that when somebody like Deborah Jones tells you in no uncertain terms that the most important thing you need to do is to stay out of court, if at all possible, unless you are really handcuffed and shackled and brought in, then you'll understand why this is some of the most important information that we're coming up with as we learn that they aren't following their own rules. So this one has been a massive, it's been a massive test of our fortitude in lots of ways, hasn't it, Rod?
Yes, it has, but it's been an education aside of this thing. It's like I told my people on TalkShoe. There's one thing to come back out and say the corruption. It's another thing to actually be firsthand, walk in, and prove it. And I think with AJ is the fact that he knew that they were corrupt. There's another thing to sit down and really understand it. And the example that I used was, here you got the Air Force flying 30, 40,000 feet in above the ground, dropping bombs. They know that they've killed people, okay? We know it. The bombs hit. Stuff exploded. We know we killed people. That's one way of knowing it. There's another thing of being down in the ground in the trenches and looking the guy in the eye and shooting. That sensation is not the same as being 30, 40,000 feet in the air. And this is what I think I did with AJ. AJ knew, but by walking him through the paperwork and actually watching it, and for me to sit here and confront him with this, now he has to come back to me and says, Rod, you know what? You're right. There are no rules in this court. The court isn't following any rules. There are no rules. And my comment is, how does you defend yourself when there's no rules? What subject matter and what jurisdiction is this court operating under? And he could not give me an answer. He could not give me an answer.
Because if he did give an answer, he would show his unclean hands. And what else? Ignorance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and is that something that you really understand, Rod? Do you think that you have been instrumental in teaching AJ what's going on in that court? I mean, has that been a big part of what you have learned, is how much these people really don't know? I mean, do they know, or has this been shocking to him to some degree?
I think they know. It goes right back to my example. You've got a plane flying 30, 40,000 feet. You're dropping bombs. You know you're killing people. But you're not seeing the results because you're up here. I actually brought AJ into the trenches. I actually brought him in, and I started laying the books out. And he's actually had to confront me. And that's going head-to-head and me cornering him. This put a whole different perspective, because he's normally doing handshakes, going out in the hall, cut your deals, walk back in. You know, the client goes to jail or whatever happens to him. There's no fuss, no muss right down the line here. We don't follow anything. And with me, we have fought these people tooth and nail. And I think he has come to a reality. He knew it was corrupt. And it's like Nancy. She didn't understand until she seen. Once she seen and she started witnessing, now what she has been told throughout the years is realizing she's been lied to. She's been frauded. And what we have been sitting here saying is the truth about their corruption. Because when we walked out of that hearing up here in Charlotte, She looked at me. She says, "My God, they're going to railroad you." I said, "Well, yeah, that's what they do." And we started, and she never looked at it from our side because she always sat on the other side where the public defender or the lawyer did their hocus-pocus stuff, and she didn't give it any thought. When she was in there with me, I was actually nailing them under the rules. I was nailing them under the procedures. I was nailing them with case law. I was nailing them with statutes. What about this? What about this? What about this? And they could not come up with answers. And this is where she realized, my God, these people have sit here and scammed. So really, do they actually know the laws? I don't really think they know the laws. If they have done this for so long, it's just routine. It goes right back in, like I told you people a long time
ago. Pavlov's dogs.
Yeah.
Pavlov's dogs, rote repetitiveness without questioning the authority and the rules that were created by that authority.
Exactly. Don't challenge it. We got a pattern here. Just keep it going. And then when somebody like me comes in, it throws a monkey wrench into them.
Yeah, and talk about the plea deal, Rod, because what happened in this particular situation is no matter, I mean, it was really watching them continue to go after this, even with all of the stuff that you had put in, they still tried to force you into the most ridiculous plea deal that anybody would have been a fool of the worst kind to have signed that. And of course you refused to do that. And so talk about that a little bit, because as you really looked at everything with that plea deal, we got a real, real eyeful of what they do to try to force you to do that plea deal.
Well, yeah, because basically the prosecutor comes out and tells you, okay, we'll drop this one charge and there's no jail time, limited probation. Okay, technically, to the average person, this is better than 10 years in prison. But as you get down and start reading, you get into page 5 on this thing. Page 5 goes in and says that the judge can override and cancel out any agreement that the government has made with you. And once you sign that plea agreement, he can break the contract between you and the government, and he can impose his own will upon you. So even though you may agree to no jail time, reduced sentence, that judge could come right back in and say, okay, you fool, you signed this. I'm now going to run you up to the max. The thing of it isn't the 10 years that he can run you out for. He can increase it. And this is something that we were not aware of. None of us within our ranks has ever went this far to we actually got a plea agreement. And they're sitting here saying this is standard operating procedures. These are their standard forms. And I got hold of this thing, and I looked at AJ and says, because we got to talk. No, let's don't talk about 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's go back to page 5 and let's read paragraph 7 and 8, where the judge has the authority to cancel out any agreement between me and the government, and he can impose his own sentencing on me for whatever length of time over and beyond. Oh, well, that really doesn't. Yes, it does, because otherwise it wouldn't be in writing. If it isn't, doesn't mean that, then you take it the hell out. Well, we can't do that. Yes, you can. Because if it don't mean it, then take it out. So I ain't signing this. And this is the whole thing. It's same thing with the pretrial scheduling for the jury. That, too, is something that we never got our hands on. It is something that we've never had access to. And that pretrial setup, what it does, it goes in and it asks the jury all these pertinent questions if they're FBI or they're police officers or federal officers or they're employees. And you have the exclusive right, and they'll tell you, you have the right to refuse them as jury members. Well, that sounds good. Until you come down and you start asking the question that, well, you can recuse them, but it's up to the judge to make the final determination whether he wants them off the jury or not. Now, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be able to kick these people off if they're police officers or federal agents or federal employees. Well, you have that right, but it's up to the judge's final determination. Ladies and gentlemen, this is stuff that we were not aware of. And there is no way that we could have ever been aware of this until I went through this whole process and we started pulling some of this paperwork up. This is why we didn't take the plea deal. This is why we're still fighting these people. Because we are in a position with what is happening here in D.C. on this gun law. They come back in and pass this gun law for a carry permit. This really blows your whole case in D.C. This opens up a whole new can of worms. And with what we're trying to do here is now we can bring in the Constitution because the rules of evidence have already been submitted in as evidence into the court. That even if I don't bring nothing else in, the rules of court is my foundation for my argument in this courtroom. I'm reminding the judge of Rule 402 and the rules of evidence that the Constitution is admissible, the federal statutes are admissible, and the rules of court and Supreme Court decisions are admissible, and I can start hammering the snot clean out of them on this before this jury and making this argument on this very case. Even if I didn't bring nothing else in, I got the rules of court that opens up all these different arguments. And the moment the judge tries to suppress it, now I can come back in and do an objection. Say, excuse me, you're now telling this jury that this court doesn't have any set of rules and any set of regulations, that this basically has come down to a kangaroo setup because you don't have a plaintiff in this courtroom, which you do not have an injured party. This opens up a whole big can of worms on these people. More like pythons. But yeah, like I said, with what we've learned on the pretrial statement, what we've learned on the plea agreement, how much power this judge has and it goes in what it falls under the trust law is contracting. You have to contract with that judge. And that's what we learned off these two documents. You have to contract with this judge. If you don't want to contract with him, they don't have anything on us.
Yet they say beyond the shadow of a doubt that the people themselves, if anybody who goes to jail, they are the ones who agree to go to jail. And so we've got to start paying attention to what they mean by that. And as we watch this whole charade of court that's been going on, and we watched how they tried to railroad you into agreeing to this plea agreement, then we have a full, much more clearer understanding of what they mean when they come back and sneer and say that, well, you signed yourself into jail because of the force and the fraud that goes on. And it's just business as usual with them. Well, we don't usually have a chance to see this in black and white like we saw it with this case. And so that's one of the things. I was talking with Rozier Bowman with Rising Life Media this week as we're talking about this PAG series that they really want to see happen, Rod. And what we were talking about was just the amount of information that could come out around this one D.C. case as we've all followed this with such depth and detail. So Rozier and Amit are really so interested in seeing this made into a larger documentary so that everybody can begin to understand exactly what goes on in the court system and why 97% of the cases are decided in favor of the judges and the court system and only 3% goes to the people. Then we've got to be much more wary. And we've got to follow Deborah's advice if she gives us, I mean, next week, she's going to be going into that. How do you stay out of the courts? And that's going to be an important situation as we go forward, because as you're looking at the trust and the discharge of debt, then that's exactly what you're dealing with, are ways that we absolutely do not agree to the jurisdiction, we do not agree to the pleas. So as more and more people begin to understand how the court system works, then we'll be able to find ways to say, well, thanks for your contract offer, but no thanks. And that's one of the most important things that I think you have helped bring out as we've watched this case go through this year and a half now.
Well, this is what I've discovered, because some of the people that are contacted me quietly, they are going back in and they're saying, Rod, because of what you brought up statutorily, what you brought up under congressional record, what you brought up has filled in some of these chunks that they were missing on the trust side. And this is what is significant, because these pieces that we brought in by bringing it in on the statutory side, especially with that Trading with the Enemy Act and the state of emergency side, of how the licensing and how the registration, all this coming in under contractual, and how we were made property, this triggered some of these other people's line of thought, because they was missing so much. So we're actually working together out here. And like I said, there is still more for me to learn, and I'm not closed-minded, because if I was, I wouldn't have been as far as what I am now. But I didn't want to get into the trust side because I didn't understand it, but I'm at a point now. We have proven the constitutional, the statutory, the congressional side, the rules and regulation side of how they are totally ignoring it, but it does not, but we still need to hammer them on this, because this is the office and position that they took. But now if we can start hammering them on the trust side and start getting an understanding of it, I can see where the trust and this would go hand in hand. And even though they're saying that you can't use federal statutes on the trust side, well, I don't really agree with this, for the simple reason is that these people took these offices under that Constitution and under that statutory side. The fact that they're working as a corporation sits here and shows that they are now imposters into these federal funding positions. And that's the big thing here. We have now imposters imposing, doing a DBA in a federal funding system that is embezzling the federal funding. So this comes right back into their own statutory law of embezzlement under RICO and racketeering. You know, false claims. There's just so much here to come back and prosecute them. This, like I said, this is where we really need the international court system. And I've had people ask me, why international, Rod? Why can't we do it here in our own backyard? Well, we got several different problems here. One, you're going to have to go to their court to prosecute them for sitting down embezzling. And all these judges have done it. That's the number one problem. Second problem is they're not going to allow we, the people, to sit down and create our own private court system to drag them in, because that 1996 the State Justice Institute video explains at that time the downfall in that. The international court system is really the way that we need to start this thing out, because these judges, these lawyers, are all under international law, under the International Organization Immunities Act. They relinquished their national citizenship. That's part of that Title 8 U.S.C. Code 1481, is that when they took their oath, they relinquished and they walked out of their national citizenship. So they're no longer American national. They are foreign. And being foreign, it comes under international law. And because they are embezzling and sit down and doing human rights crimes and selling us on the market internationally, this brings the international court into this and gives them subject matter jurisdiction over this, like it did in Nuremberg. if you notice in Nuremberg, it was not German judges that tried Hitler's group. It wasn't Germany that tried them. It was an international court that tried Germany. And that's what we need here. We need an international court to come in and try the American judges and the lawyers and those who hold public office who did wrong to the American people, who have embezzled. It takes an international, because it is the international that is also being damaged, because they have been given Federal Reserve notes. And our system knew that them Federal Reserve notes was nothing more than you taking a piece of toilet paper and writing an IOU on a piece of toilet paper and handing it up to them. That's all a Federal Reserve note is. And our system knew it. But the world sat here and took it on face value that it had monetary worth. And that monetary worth came off of our labor. And that is something I don't think they had a full understanding on. Not everybody. Some of them did, but not everybody. So, like I said, we need the international court system in this to get this thing up and running in order to come in and start doing accountability. And once we start doing accountability on a few of these judges, then they need to be placed under protected custody, because we sure don't want them getting lost, because we know they're going to get lost somewhere. And we don't want no harm coming to them. So we want them under protected custody. So once they start getting tried for international crimes and treason, they're going to be begging to be brought back under the Constitution. Because once we start exposing the equity side and the trust side of this, because we've already exposed the constitutional side and they're not abiding by it, once we start exposing the trust side of this thing, like I said, this brings us in under war crimes. This brings us in under the military side. And once this brings us in under the military side, this brings us under international. This brings us under war crimes. That's why we need an international court.
And one of the things that Sasha Stone has made just a centerpiece of his platform is helping to get this international tribunal set up. He's the one who has brought the judges to us that we're working with, and he just has made a commitment to absolutely help get this court up and running. As we've been working toward this over these last 5 months, that's been one of the most important things that we have been working toward, is to get the International Tribunal for Natural Justice up and running. So I want to just send a shout out, if there are people out there who would like to be a part of the committee to help bring this out, you know, get in touch with me, Rebecca@humanitad.org. Volunteer to be on the committee, because this is taking a lot of organization. We're talking about fundraising campaigns. Rod had somebody come forth this week and volunteer to help with some of the funding. And so we're going to be needing funding for two major projects here. We're talking about the documentary that's going to take an amount of funding. We're talking about the International Tribunal. Whether we have a circuit rider court, which is what we're talking about being the simplest thing to do, or whether we seat this in Washington, D.C., we're going to need funding sources. We're going to need a secretariat set up. There are quite a few things that we're really in the organizational stages that we could use help on. So if you happen to be an expert in some of these areas and you would like to be working with us on that, then be sure to get in touch with us. Contact Rod or contact me, Rebecca@humanitad.org, because we would really like to see this operational and ready to hear, because we have a number of cases that would qualify already. And of course, we're looking at the tribunal set up. It only takes one judge, one international judge with the constitutional credibility of the judges that we're working with, to be able to seat this tribunal and get it underway. So this is something that we're really working on, you know, just very diligently as Rod has had to work on this court case in D.C., the information's that's come out there. And then, Rod, let's talk about a minute this Operation Spitwad. Who would be the people that we need to send these letters to in D.C. to just Let them know that we know that they haven't followed the rule of law, that they haven't followed your paperwork, that they're guilty of mail fraud, that they're guilty of obstruction of justice. Of all of the things that we can list, I mean, I bet that list would be so long if we sat there and we said, we ticked off one, obstruction of justice, two, mail fraud, three, failure to file the paperwork, four, court tampering, you know, the judge putting his handwritten notes all across the paperwork of a pro se litigant, you know. So many different ones. Who do we need to organize to send these notes to through Operation Spitwad? We know the judge. We know his boss, the Bar Association. Who else should we be sending this to?
Because we're dealing with the D.C. area, the Sergeant of Arms of the House and the Senate, the Architect of Capitol, all right, but this needs to go into the Judiciary Committee and Congress, as well as the Judicial Committee itself. You get Judiciary Committee. And you have a separate department that is a committee on judicial. You get two different agencies here, two different government platforms. You also need to send it into the United States Administrative Court, because this is the one that is over top of all these judges. We need to send it into the Provost Marshal, into the Pentagon, that deals with this, because we're dealing with war crimes here under the trust side. They are in violation of the Labor Code. And I read the Labor Code here the other day under 41 to 45. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have never read the Labor Code, it is called General Order 100. And you can punch up General Order 100, which is the Labor Code of 1861. You get in and you read 41 down to 45 to 46. And it really fits what we're dealing with under the military side of the invading army, because we don't have a government. We have been invaded. This is like I used the illustration on Sunday and Monday. During World War II, if Nazi Germany was able to make it here to the United States and take over our country, we would no longer be under our Constitution, under the federal statutes, rules, and regulations. We would now be under the occupying force of Nazi Germany. So we could try to come in and bring the Constitution in. We could try to bring in the federal statutes in. We could bring all this stuff in. But if we're sitting and there's an SS officer sitting on the bench, he is not going to be interested in our Constitution. He's not going to be interested in our federal statutes, because they're going to run their rules and their regulations and their courts against us. This is where the problem's running in. This is why at this point we need to notify those who sit in the Committee of the Judiciary on the House and Senate side, the Sergeant of Arms of the House and Senate side, the Architect of Capitol. We need to get hold of the Department of DOJ of Professional Responsibility. These are the administrative offices that's in charge of the court system and their officers, that if there's any ethical violations or procedural violations, fire paperwork into them. And it probably would not hurt if we were to send something off to Judge Roberts, the Supreme Court judge, not just the federal district judge, but actually the chief judge of this United States Supreme Court. File paperwork into him. Let's bring him up to this speed. And if he does not do anything about this, then he now becomes a party to it. These are avenues that we have here. But you also have your own state legislation. You got your own state people, your own legislators. You need to start having new legislation created in your own state to start addressing this stuff, because if you stop and think, any and all federal funding, starts at the county level, starts at your state legislators. Anything that finances D.C. comes from the state. So if we would come back in and go to your legislations and start educating them, and I've had an opportunity to talk to a couple of state legislators here in North Carolina, and they want to have some more meetings here. But be able to sit down and lay this stuff out and have them create new legislation, dissolve the Trading with the Enemy Act, dissolve the state of emergency, put us back under common law, put us back under the Constitution of what is supposed to be, where you actually have a real injured party, not a commercial entity for commercial crime. And for some of you people out here, if you look under Title 27 CFR and get into 72.11, it will tell you what a commercial crime is, and you would be absolutely shocked at what you would see, what is classified. Rape is a commercial crime. Kidnapping is a commercial crime. Firearms is a commercial crime. And the list goes on. What is commercial? Now, who would ever sit here and think rape and murder would fall under commercial? But that's how it's listed. So this goes back into part of your trust side of what we're looking at, is that they have classified any and all charges as a commercial commodity. Like I said, this is a whole new, this is another realm of getting into and understanding. And like I said, this will go hand in hand with what we're dealing with, because we can burn them on the constitutional side and then turn around and burn them on the trust side. They're going to have to follow one side or the other. And if there's a third side here, then we're going to have to be able to find it. But these two sides right now is a start. And you're asking me who to send it to? Man, you got all kinds of legislators. Like I said, Judiciary Committee, they're the ones that control the court. They're the ones that control the court. They put judges in and they take them out.
And so the importance of the education of what is going on in our current law system is really what we're finding out through this court case. And without Rod's understanding of the rules that have been broken, and without his willingness to go in there and look at this plea agreement and teach all of us, we would not have had the depth of understanding that we have through this. So this is a big part of what we'll be doing. You know, everybody says, oh, it's so hard for us to understand. But when you begin to see how the birth certificate was used as just exactly the same way that the plantation slave owners used this to assume ownership of the offspring of their women that they considered to be slaves. And you really follow this through the system. You know, you really freak out when you understand how deliberate this has been. But the thing that we're at, the place where we're at now, is exactly how Andrew started this show. We have the information. What do we do with it? Do we throw up our hands and say, oh my gosh, you know, I'm the victim here. I'll never get out from under this. No. This is the time when we're going to learn to stand up and be responsible people. It is time for action, and just the simple thing. You know, this is what I have to tell you about what I learned as I started working with my brother some years ago, as he was dealing with the absolute nightmare of child support enforcement that was putting him in debtor's prison, you know, every time he turned around. It was putting his life absolutely upside down. And so I decided to get in there and work with him. And what I began to understand as I worked with this, now several years later, the educational stage where I am makes me be willing to stand up and be accountable. I have the responsibility. And so that's what we're dealing with. We're not saying we're victims here. We're saying we understand the system, and now we have the obligation and duty to do something about it. And so I think that's where a lot of us are as we begin to get organized with some of these projects and some of these processes, and we want everybody to get involved. So over the next month here, before Rod goes back to D.C. to finish this up, we want to see how many people we can get involved in standing up and sending these letters and getting involved. Just a simple thing like that can help you begin to accept responsibility for creating the world that we live in. Silence is acquiescence. You know, just letting it go and saying, well, you know, I, and not really knowing what to do. It's just taking one step and then the next step, and sometimes that's what creates the biggest change. It's the momentum of change that we all can generate as we stand up and be accounted in this that we're really looking at.
And standing up being counted means you aren't going to the system of domination and control. You are a sovereign being who has made a sovereign choice to say no. No, you cannot infringe on my inherent rights. No, you cannot infringe on my system of belief. No, you cannot take anything that is the supposed money that is in exchange for value. No, you cannot create debt for my future children. No, you cannot pollute my lands. No, you cannot feed us GMO that's poisoning us. No, you cannot vaccinate our children with your thermosol. No, 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 no. And then we need to ask them, what part of the word no don't you understand, the N or the O? And then we're going to take it a step further, and we're not going to just write letters to courts. We're going to march into those courts and demand those judges go in front of a tribunal and tell the truth. The scale and size of the fraud is massive. So massive that it requires independent media like this to report it, because the mass media is so afraid because they're intertwined in supporting it at every level. We are the ones that create change in our local reality. We are the ones that create change in our local politics. We are the ones that create change. It's time we begin educating people on this fraud and how deep it goes. It's time that we begin to tell them, with more than just a paper cut or a spit wad, then not only are we watching you, not only are we your neighbors, we are worldwide. We are our own expression of unity that is all looking at the eyes of the courts in Washington, D.C., or Whitehall, or France, or any of the other communities that still use the same type of corporate restrictive system. You are prehistoric. Your time is done. You are dinosaurs. Your time of extinction is here. Choose to walk with us into the lands of the future, or be bones to be buried in the dirt.
And it's time for peace and plenty to inhabit this beautiful earth that is our home. And that's my intention as I walk day by day with this project. You know, this is far, far, far bigger than what one person can do. It's going to take all of us. But there are those of us who are just willing to step forward and stand and say, it's my intention for peace and plenty to be the crowning glory of this beautiful planet. And justice belongs to everybody. And as long as one person is going through what Rod Class has gone through in this DC class, as long as one person remains homeless, as long as one person remains hungry, as long as one person remains without shoes, then I am my brother's keeper. And I stand up and I say, I will do my part. That's all I can do.
I will be of service to all my brothers and sisters who are blissfully ignorant, in denial, or on the other side, because they are still all of our brothers and sisters. And those people in those government offices that don't know but had some kind of vague idea, you know now.
Yes.
And now that we know that you know, it's time to come to truth in perpetuity. It's time to come transparent, lay the books out. don't be willing to say that this piece of paper that's a non-disclosure agreement, it's just ink on paper created by a system decided to defraud and embezzle. That paper has no power over you.
And, you know, I want to say a big thank you to people like Dorothy, who made a phone call to me today and explained to me the depth of insanity that she has witnessed in the military and in several places that are at the highest echelons of what passes for these corporations posing as governments. And so I really want to thank those people who have come forward and who have shared their stories, and those people who send me emails on a regular basis. I do my best to get back to you as we're doing what we can to get this resource network in place. And so I encourage you, pick up the you know, just send us the emails, Rebecca@humanitad.org. We're working hard to get Adventures into Sovereignty as our website so that we can get a lot of these information things posted. And they're working, Troy, who's working with the Oregon Grand Jury, is also one of our volunteers with New Earth Nation, who's working to get the International Tribunal for Natural Justice site up. We're all working on it just as fast as we can. So if you want to volunteer and if you want to help, watch out for the next several weeks, because we're going to be sending out emails everywhere, and we're going to ask for your help in ways that we're just now really getting organized to do. So there's lots to do, and we just really appreciate all of you who watch the shows and who send us the feedback and who participate with your participation through the shows and by getting in touch with us. We really do appreciate all of you.
And I want to thank everyone that has come to help put together this simulcast situation. We are currently live on the megastation bbsradio.com, also on AIB Network and simulcast into the Google Hangouts. And for anyone that's out there listening into Radio Land, we are expanding this network. We have multiple hosts behind here are going to be coming forth. So if you'd like to simulcast this show or be a part of the show, please get a hold of Rebecca or myself. You can go to galactichistorian.com and in your subject line put in simulcast options for radio shows. We are looking to expand this network to massive levels. We are looking to get 1 million signatures on our treaty. We are looking to do massive things with Operation Spitwad. So we are the ones right now that are light years ahead of the pack simply because we chose to organize everyone. We chose to bring all the factions together. And now all of the factions are working together under an infrastructure. Everyone's going to have their voice. No one's going to be left out. So I want to thank Rod Klass, Rebecca Cope, everyone at BBS Radio, everyone at AIB Radio. We have an incredible show. Thank you very much. Any last words, Rod?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, between this computer going out and what I've had to ship out, I've had to drop close to $2,500 to buy a computer and do some mailing on some special projects. So any donations of what can come in would be appreciative to help cut some of the expenses down, because everything we do, we're posting out on the internet. And without a computer and without some of the stuff that we're doing, I can't do what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I had to just drop close to $2,500 here in the last week for a computer and for special posting on special material that I'm working on. So any donations would go to Post Office Box 435. High Shoals, North Carolina, 28077. Thank you.
Okay. All right, everyone. It's been an incredible show. All right, Doug, take us away. Santi, take us away. And multiple producers from around the world and galaxies and universe. It's been an incredible show. Thanks a lot, everyone.